Construction crews that have been building Section 5 of I-69 are still out of work today. Financial problems and disputes involving the lead contractor, the Netherlands-based Isolux Corson, have caused contractors to delay work on the project. Now, a governmental organization in Monroe County is looking into the possibility of removing funding for I-69 construction. WFHB News reporter Joe Crawford has more on that story for today's WFHB Community Report.
It's no surprise that the Policy Committee of the Bloomington-Monroe County Metropolitan Planning Organization would be interested in the I-69 delays. The Policy Committee is the same group that fought and eventually approved construction of the interstate through Monroe County years ago. At its meeting on Friday, Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton asked the group what they might do about the construction delays that have been publicized in recent days.
We had a confirmed basic halt in substantial work on the site due to non-payment to a subcontractor, with pending possible additional work stoppages. We had the state, through the Indiana Finance Authority, declare some formal non-compliance with the contract by the main contractor, invoking a 30-day clock that lets the state take certain action. We had yesterday released a statement from Isolux Corson trying to clarify from their position what has happened. Isolux has asserted certain relief events that they believe are pending with the Indiana Finance Authority, which justify from their position some of the delays and non-payments. I haven't heard the state's response to that. I do have to say, first of all, it is highly distressing to me that we had these groups in front of us 30 days ago and none of this was brought up to us, including Isolux's claim that they've had 10 geological and permitting issues under the contract that they raised. They never mentioned that as any reason for delays that I can recall, and I don't believe they're in our minutes, nor did the state suggest that there were pending problems with the performance of the contractors. I did call yesterday wearing my mayor's hat on behalf of the residents and visitors of Bloomington. I did call on the state, in my view, to take whatever steps were necessary to assure that we had work continuing on the road. I have no doubt, little doubt, I should say, I have little doubt that there will be litigation and, as I described it, conflicts between the corner suite offices on this matter. But in my view, it is the obligation of the state to assure that we get this project done. And if the private partnership isn't working well, to step up and make sure the work we know needs to get done gets done. I have not had a response to that. I don't know. I'm relatively new to this body. I do not know our tradition of sharing a view about this. I do think it's a very serious impact on us. We all know that the Fitch bond review process led to a statement that said if there is not substantial increase in pace and activity in August and September and shortly thereafter, they do not see a path to completion by June 2017. We have not seen an increase. In fact, we've seen the opposite. So it's certainly serious suggestion that the date of June 17 is unlikely to be met. And that is a very real burden to all of us.
After Hamilton made his comments, the chair of the committee, Jack Baker, said he would consider sending some kind of letter to lawmakers in Indianapolis. Two committee members, Andy Ruff and then Richard Martin, spoke next.
The recommendation be included to say, basically in the old saying, stop throwing good money after bad. This project, if it doesn't go to Indianapolis, will never generate additional activity from between Evansville and Bloomington to create a significant problem for 37 with some of the improvements that have already been started. Finish those and quit throwing good money after bad.
Question. I guess this is more of a technical question. The MPO voted to put this project into the TIP and thereby authorized the expenditure of federal funds on this project. Are there still federal funds being spent on this project? I guess is one of my questions. And if so, what prevents us from removing it from the TIP and thereby putting the squeeze on those federal funds? I mean, I think we're at the point where we need to think radically about what options we might have available to gain more leverage in this process.
That was Richard Martin, a member of the Bloomington-Monroe County Metropolitan Planning Organization's Policy Committee. He was speaking at a meeting that happened on Friday. Josh Desmond, the director of the organization, responded.
Those are two good questions. I'm not sure about the first one. I don't know if they've already obligated all of the funding that was authorized previously.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'd have to double check that.
We effectively authorized this to go forward. So we do bear some responsibility for the progress of the project and its completion. And the question is, given that we have that responsibility, how do we exercise any authority that is attendant to that responsibility? At our meeting a month ago, we were told that they had the capacity to do it, and I questioned their capacity, the contractors they had. I'm now very concerned about the competence of the management of the project as a whole. We have seen this repeatedly now in terms of work stoppage. These scenarios never seem to work out well. We have experienced the tragedies of accidents which are occurring as a result of this. We can only expect more. I think we need to figure out a way to take some more decisive action if we have the ability to do so. I mean, writing a letter isn't going to have an impact up in Indianapolis. I've learned that many years ago. But if there is an action that we can take which would force the federal government to get back involved in this in some sense, perhaps that's something that we can do, because that's the avenue we have for dealing with the responsibility that we assumed when we took the action to include it.
Just looking it up in the current TIP here, just for curiosity's sake, it is still there. There is still federal funding listed through fiscal 17, so through next June. Question would be if it's already obligated or not in terms of contractual.
We need to find a lever.
Martin's idea curried favor with some other members of the committee. Up next is Sarah Reiterband, who is a board member at WFHB as well as a MPO policy committee member. Reiterband is followed up by Jack Baker, the chair of the committee.
I think that Richard's suggestion is a very positive one. We certainly know from past experience that letters to our state don't have any or very little effect from this MPO. And we've been bullied by the state repeatedly on this project. I can't imagine them suddenly listening to us, but certainly pulling it out of the TIP would raise all sorts of red flags and make things happen, which won't happen otherwise.
Let me put it this way. We could, in a letter, express our concerns and say that we are investigating whether we can withdraw funds from the TIP for this project. It's a threat. In the meantime, we can confirm whether we can do that. It gets a letter out there, and then we find out whether we can or cannot and take action, and that can't happen for another meeting anyhow, another month. So we could get a letter out there before that.
One of the only members to speak about reservations concerning the letter was Jason Bannock. Bannock is a committee member as well as a member of the Bloomington Utilities Service Board and the director of real estate at Indiana University. After Bannock spoke, committee member and city council member Andy Ruff responded.
I would advise, if you're going to draft this letter, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And of course, I'm open to input on this, but I would advise we want to keep it very factual in nature and not editorialize. I mean, we all have our opinions of how this is being handled, but I think from where I sit, if we want it to be more impactful, we want to stick to the facts as much as we can.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I think that's correct.
No, Josh will do that. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Probably we don't know the facts. It's going to be not
100% agreement on the facts. Fact of the matter is, this project was never fiscally constrained. Federal Highway never should have approved it. This creative financing is what led to this right now. There's no way NDOT has the revenues to do all its obligations across the state of Indiana and build this thing also, and that's why we're in the situation we're in now. That's a fact to me, and to I think a lot of people pay close attention to this. So I respect and appreciate what Mr. Panik's saying, but it's not going to be, I don't think, as simple to agree on what the facts are.